Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast for another week. My name's Lauren Wood. Unfortunately, we're without Anthony Hudson today. He's on the way back from Perth, and I'm joined, those voices you hear now, by Mick Warner and Mark Robinson to take a look back on another massive round of footy. And we called it earlier in the year, boys, that we had potentially had the best round of the season, but was that not the best finish of the season? An absolute nail-biter in Perth to close things off, and it really, really came down to the wire, and unfortunately for Melbourne, they paid the ultimate price, didn't they?
Oh, there's so many stories from the weekend. I mean, the last quarter from Subiaco yesterday with the percentage ladder.
Oh, how good's that line?
On the left, and they were going up, you know, 0.5 in front, 0.1 in front, 0.7 in front. That was just suspense football, and I can't recall, but sitting there watching two teams that I don't follow, I'm looking at it going, wowee, every tackle, every missed kick, it was... And I put out a tweet last night, how are you feeling, Melbourne fans? And they were really nice with their replies. I put out a tweet saying, how are you feeling, West Coast fans? You can square and Wooshka. Did they start
open the floodgates, did it?
What did you, where were
well,
you watching
I watched it on the couch as well. I was at the Richmond game and then I went home and watched it. And you're right, the ninth mantle has been handed from Richmond to Melbourne. They can own that for the next 20 years. You finish ninth. And it was, yeah, you're right, I think you said in the tackle the best home and away season ever, and I agree. It just was.
Well, not in my lifetime. Not in my lifetime. And 1987 was when Melbourne got in. I can't really remember that. It's a long time ago, even though I was a young adult then. But this had been building and building and building. It was a great call by Hutto. The season was decided on the stroke of midnight. Yeah. It was a really, really good
and
call.
And as you said, I've never seen a crowd like this in a 29-point margin late in the quarter because everyone knew.
I didn't know the margin.
Didn't you know the margin?
No, I only looked at the percentage ladder.
It was 20, I think.
I was a bit the same. We were in the press box after, of course, Richmond and St Kilda game and made it back up after the press conferences just for that last 10 minutes and watching the ladder. And we were all sort of saying to each other, do you think everyone knows? And do the players know? And, you know, obviously the runners going out to them and all that sort of stuff. But even how they, it just chopped and changed so quickly. But of course, the attention didn't stay with the round for all that long.
Typical Collingwood.
Eddie McGuire, of course, Monday morning on his breakfast radio show, with 10 minutes to go in the program, was asked, of course, about Nathan Buckley. And we knew that the review had been handed down. And Mark, you and I have just returned to the office from the press conference that announced that Nathan Buckley has earned himself a 2-year extension. They ratified it a Sunday board meeting. They got Bucks in. He spoke to them there and then got the phone call a little bit later. So Eddie McGuire made the announcement this morning. So let's just have a little quick listen to what he had to say there.
We're confident that a major announcement regarding the coaching position gives us the first tentpole for us to continue building what we want to do at this football club. We've looked deep within ourselves. We've acknowledged the mistakes and the shortcomings of our football program and our club as a whole, and we believe we've identified where we need to take our club to get back to the position that we want it to be as the preeminent football and sporting club in Australia. Part of that decision is to reappoint Nathan, and I'd like to thank him on behalf of everyone at the Collingwood Football Club for taking up the commission.
So there we've heard from Eddie on the actual news. It's another 2 years. Robbo, what did you make of it down there this morning?
Well, first of all, you know, make sure you buy the paper tomorrow. We're going to have two, three pages on the announcement this morning. I sat there next to you, Lauren, looking at Nathan Buckley a lot through that press conference, and what I saw was a very, very humble man. He knows, I think, he's lucky to be in this position. He spoke at length about his own growing up and his awareness of people and life, and I thought it was a really, really, really good look at Nathan Buckley, the change in Nathan Buckley. When he played and when he first started coaching, it was like menacing almost. He was so process-oriented. I've got to do this to get myself up. I've got to tick this off before I play the next weekend. And look like that as coach. The most important thing after that, I thought, was when Collingwood admitted that the areas of the football department around Nathan Buckley had let him down. They weren't good enough to get the best out of Nathan Buckley.
Well, it was really interesting, as you say, to hear from Jeff Walsh and sort of where this review is going to take them as they go through it over the next few days. But you did mention Nathan Buckley there and some of the things that he had to say about himself. And he said, as you grow older, you know, you do get to know yourself more as a person. So
is that true, Mick? You're getting older.
Yeah, it is. And I think, is he talking about the Hardwick situation? Because there are parallels that I see there.
Well, it's going to be interesting in the next few days. Let's just have a quick listen to what Nathan had to say this morning.
I'm rapt to be supported into the role. Woke up this morning to the news and was suitably humbled and a little bit nervous, to be honest. I think I've always had a really strong understanding of what's going to happen and how it needs to be. Facts are we've got a lot of work to do, and I'm wrapped that the review and the recommendation from the review that was run through the club and by Jeff Walsh and Peter Murphy supported retaining me as senior coach.
So, Mick, you've had a listen to the, I think it was 41 minutes in the end, the press conference. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
It was long. You knew on Friday when Eddie said, I think we went on Perth Radio and said something like, you only sack a coach if he's lost the players. Had a feeling then, as you said, they met on Sunday. They had that review presented on Tuesday. I think the fix was in for a while, actually, that he was going to get the job. I don't think they would have decided on Sunday, surely, that I think they've known for a while that he was the man. But I am surprised. I think it's a massive risk. And what if we get to, you know, mid next year and they're 1-8? And are we going to go through this whole thing? Is there a clause in the contract? I don't know if anyone asked about, is there a get-out clause here?
If there's always a get-out clause. Shape. It's called getting sacked.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the get-out clause.
look, they put a lot of faith in him. It's a very political football club, Collingwood, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. But for the time being, well done to Bucks.
It is going to be interesting in the next few days, though, isn't it, Robbo, that we're towards the end of the press conference, it started turning to what changes are going to be made and when, and Buckley sort of saying towards the end there that they've got some really respectful conversations that they need to have with people who may potentially not have a future at the club. So that's going to be determined in the coming days. And I think that's fair. You know, we can't go announcing it at a press conference on a Monday morning when these people haven't been told.
It was really interesting, that part of the press conference. Jeff Walsh, who did the review, I was quite surprised, actually. I don't know about you, Mick, but I was quite surprised when Jeff Walsh revealed that they'd spoken to 100 people, all internal. It was an internal questionnaire of the staff and the players, if they didn't go outside.
Craig Kelly was interviewed.
Was he?
Yep. But he may have been the only one, given he was the manager.
Of Nathan Buckley.
Nathan Buckley.
I don't think he would have been critical of Nathan Buckley.
I think so.
Eddie McGuire told me later that Peter Murphy, who's conducting the other review, will be speaking to external people.
Right. So that was the Murphy review that Kelly was spoken about. You're right. So the Jeff Walsh one was all internal.
Yeah, saying. That's what he said. Yeah. He didn't speak to anyone.
Yep.
And then he said, we're not in the business of just sacking people. Sacking everyone. Change doesn't mean we're sacking everyone. Then later in the press conference, when Nathan Buckley was asked about the coming days or what's next on
the
agenda,
sack everyone.
He didn't say they're going to sack everyone. But as Lauren just said, you know, he's got some respectful discussions to be had. They can't talk for 35 minutes about change needed at Collingwood without there being change made at Collingwood. Mm. Gary Peart is not the only person to lose his job.
Burns is already gone. What about
Harvey? Looks like he's been linked to Frankston.
Frankston,
the VFL.
As the senior coach.
Well, he's not going down there as
wouldn't
an assistant.
I
didn't say assistant.
He's so pretty fit, though.
And the list management.
Bill Davern.
Yeah, the list management department we looked at. And it was my fault, everyone's fault. We should have asked about Graham Allen, but sort of slipped today.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though, even that just the 1%ers like that Jeff Walsh raised as part of this review, that, yeah, there's going to be changes personnel-wise, but little changes at the club. He mentioned about changing the layout of the offices. And he said the flow. And he said just things like that. He said they don't mean a lot to you people, but they can actually change.
It is important, because how many times have we in this office at the Herald Sun, and everyone else listening right now in your car or on radio, they bring in experts and say, right, we've got to change the makeup of the office. This is the flow's not good. People are millionaires. over changing the flow.
Yep. So it sounds like it's, you know, there's been some really big stuff talked about behind these closed doors, but they've gone from top to bottom.
But I know they're a big club, but can we move on to the clubs that are actually still in the competition?
Well, I was just going to say, we can talk about Buckley and whether it's right or whether it's wrong all day. We could sit here for hours, but it is time for you, Mick. It's time for Is It Just Me?
Is it just me, or is there a meeting taking place today, Robbo and Loz, about Dustin Martin's future in New Zealand that really could determine not only his future, but how the Tigers travel in the next 4 weeks? Because if
Absolutely.
He was to come home and say yes, what an impetus.
So what if he comes down? Well, hang on, Lauren. What if he comes down and says
no?
How's the impetus there?
It's not good. It's a very important trip. If there's no announcement this week, you'd have to think that it's off till the end of the year, which would be a real worry that $2.8 million gap can't be bridged.
It's going to be an interesting few days, isn't
Life
it?
Life can't be about money.
No, it isn't. And I was really interested in hearing Matthew Richardson speak to this issue with you guys on 3OW yesterday, Mick, and talks about, obviously, he's a one-club player at Punt Road. So I think he was a great authority to talk about it and say, obviously he never had those sort of dollars on the table and no player ever has because it would potentially be the biggest deal in history. But to hear Richo say things like, you know, I would be, and he was, of course, talking about if he was Dustin Martin, I would be a 300-game player when this deal ends. I would be potentially, it could happen this year, a Brownlow medalist. I would be a 3 or 4-time Jack Dye medalist. I would be an all-time great of this football club. And all of that,
but you said
it means so much more than money.
It's the biggest offer in history. Richo never got offered that.
At the time, Richo was probably on 800. They would have offered Richo $1 million because they were $1 million players.
Yeah.
The point is, with Dustin Martin, what does he want? What does he want? Does he want money? Go. You're going to get money. You're going to get $7.5 to $8 million from Richmond. You are going to be rich. What do you want out of your football career? Does he spend 8 years at Richmond, which is his 8th year now? Does he spend 8 years building to this very point where Richmond have got a double chance, Mick, and they're having a home final, 90,000, MCG? Or does he go to North Melbourne for an extra $2 million over 7 years and then start another 5-6 year rebuild?
It's easy for us to say that, though. But imagine if you're offered $3 million extra. I mean, it's massive.
It keeps going up.
Tell us, Mick, what is that like?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But he's been offered $7.5 million.
Yeah, no, I know.
But
$1 million.
As you say, Robbo, moments like yesterday where he dragged that team by the scruff of its neck and had 70,000 people going absolutely
when he ran to the bench and you were
bananas.
There,
they just went off.
Clapped him. It was a special moment.
Did you jump the fence and like hug him as he went through the interchange?
But as you say,
he was don't arguing his own teammates yesterday.
Get
out of my way.
It was a sensational performance by Dustin Martin. He's had a lot of sensational performances. He has a big decision to make.
Yeah.
I'm really big on loyalty. I don't like free agency and what it's doing to the game. Free agency wasn't introduced, Mick, for a club like North Melbourne, lower on the ladder, to go out and offer more money than the club who's sitting in third spot for your best player and then make it about money.
You're right. The story is North Melbourne here as much as anything. That they are. It's just a reckless offer for them going forward with their salary cap. We hear Mac has said there's 8 players sweating on deals because of this deal. Are North making a mistake?
Well, would you be happy
probably
if you were
not,
a North player? I don't know.
They'll be happy.
Be happy as a team.
They've got money in the salary cap. There's no doubt about
do.
That. So will they be happy if Dustin Martin comes along and projects them into the finals? They'll be wrapped. Any club would love to have Dustin Martin. But I'll say, this is the last thing I'll say on Dustin Martin. What that football club has done for him, right, and I know he's given back a lot in the way he's performed, especially this year and last year, but what this football club has done for him, you can't put a monetary value on that. And if you want to, I'd say, righto, it's worth $2.8 million.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. And, of course, with the bye week, it's going to dominate plenty of discussion. But the Tiger train does roll on, Mick.
Yes.
It's Cats versus Tigers next Friday night at the MCG, which I think is the right decision. It's going
to
be
huge. I had to be at the MCG. Didn't the planets align, though, with GWS putting in another stinker of... I've been red hot on the Giants all year, but they were very poor, which allowed the Cats to get second, which allowed Richmond to get third in a home final. So if they're ever going to pull off a fairy tale, this is a good start for Richmond.
Well, and if they do win, it's another week in Melbourne.
They won't travel interstate if they win.
If they win, they get a home preliminary final. Richmond will be confident. They believe that they're quicker than the Cats. When they got beaten down at Skilled Stadium or Simmons Stadium, what does it mean?
Yeah, Simmons, and it's thin ground, isn't it?
It's a thin ground. Skinny, so it's the first time a lot of these young fellas have played on the ground. And everyone goes, oh, Richmond can't beat him, Richmond can't beat him. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Richmond believes that they've got the speed, they've got the defence. And as noted yesterday, they've got the goal scoring potency. They kicked nine goals yesterday.
Where'd he come
What's
from?
What's he, 11 goals in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Mr. September. Well, he certainly missed it. August.
Missed the last fortnight of August.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really exciting. Friday night, can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be absolutely massive. But for now, it's time for Be Kind Rewind. Now, Robbo, it was a weekend to forget for the Demons, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a horrible weekend. We all know Melbourne fans, God, they were devastated last night. They, what upsets people and what Melbourne internally they will be furious about is they had their future in their hands and they were playing against a very young Collingwood team at the MCG. Not a lot to play for, and Melbourne had everything to play for, and Melbourne were just, seriously, they were pathetic in that first quarter. They didn't have any intent. They without Jack Viney, Mick, I know you're a big fan of Jack.
Wouldn't have happened if he was playing, would it?
No, it wouldn't have. How did they look at Jack in the eye after the game?
Exactly. You hear a lot of people, Melbourne people, say, I can never trust Melbourne. And this year, I think they felt finally they were getting that trust, didn't they? And that was just a classic Melbourne loss. And you know what? There's 50 inches of snow at Mount Buller. Go and enjoy it.
They'll be going there this week.
Nothing's changed. And I know as a Richmond supporter, that's such a Richmondy game, is that new term. And they coughed it up.
Melbourne-y, eh?
Melbourne-y.
You know, they've got some issues. They definitely need Jack Lever. I think they're pretty confident on getting Jack Lever for next year, Melbourne. Some players. They had a really traumatic year in the sense of they lost tight matches. They had to deal with so many suspensions.
Hogan.
They had so many injuries. So to actually get themselves in a position to win was a pretty good effort. But when the day comes, the effort's got to be better than what it was.
You've got to beat Collingwood, don't you?
You just have to beat Collingwood, and they didn't. And that from there, Lauren, the chain reaction for the rest of the weekend. Like, I woke up Sunday morning, and I'm thinking to myself, what is going to happen today, Mick?
What can we do today?
What is going to unfold today?
The coach spoke after the game, like, you know, if we're still good enough to make it. I think they were pretty confident that results would fall their way. But
well,
that's
and they
the
very
works.
Nearly did. It would have been a really tough day for them. They would have been just like us, sitting somewhere here in Melbourne watching that live ladder tick back into their favour and then tick out.
Yes.
So there will be some interesting exit meetings today. The players were just arriving down at Amy Park as we were leaving Collingwood.
Yes, is it a successful year for Melbourne or not, Mick and Lauren?
They will be better for it.
Not Collingwood, Melbourne, I should say.
Yeah, they will.
They will learn from this.
Yeah, you're right.
Goodwin, I like him. He's a ruthless sort of guy.
Everyone thinks that everything just happens. It doesn't just happen. You must have setbacks. You must have embarrassing moments to make the club bigger and stronger.
Yep, and it'll make him even more strong as a coach. Let's just have a quick listen to what he had to say in his press conference after the game.
Poor. Yeah, not good enough. So that'll be a big focus of us moving over the next 2 weeks. If we're fortunate enough to get through, how we win our contested ball, how we tackle and get those behaviours and habits right around that side of the game.
Now, of course, it was another massive result came from Essendon. They're in. It's an incredible fairy tale, isn't it, Robbo?
Bombers yesterday. For 4 years, myself and Mick reported on...
Oh, there's a few other people.
...the drug saga. But we just did it every day.
Right, yeah.
To see the joy on the Essendon fans' faces yesterday... They'd come out of the darkness. Now, I don't know how many people at the Herald Sun put Essendon in the final eight at the start of the year. I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I was expecting all three to say no.
I also had Melbourne.
I didn't have Adelaide.
And the Western Bulldogs.
I had Adelaide third. But anyway, and it's just a really good moment for the football club.
Oh,
because
great.
Yeah, it's better than good. You're right. To see what we all know what they've gone through. And yesterday, Joe Watson... It was like just a perfect home and away game to finish in that front. He played really well. He had 26, had like 10 clearances. He was among the best on the ground. They cheered him off the ground. It wasn't as big as Nick Riewoldt.
No.
Or Friday night, Bob Murphy and Luke Hodge and Matty Boyd.
But how good were those moments? But you must have been worried there at some stage.
In the fourth quarter, they were coming.
And Freo didn't have a lot to play for. In fact, they lost twice by 100 points.
Well, give them credit, actually. Yeah, to come back from 100-100 and to go against a team. They were like Collingwood.
Yeah.
Except they won. They didn't win, I should say. Yep. But it was a good moment. They go to Sydney for the first final.
Bad luck.
Yeah, there's one thing that Essendon have got that Sydney might not like.
Ooh, speed.
Speed.
Yes.
And there's a lot of teams don't like speed, and Essendon have shown that they can play the SCG okay.
Should have won that game.
They should have won that game.
So, yeah. But gee whiz, with big, bad Buddy playing the way he is, the Swans are up and about.
If I was Liam Jones, I wouldn't watch a replay of that game. And next time he sees Paul Roos, I probably wouldn't say hello to Paul Roos.
What did Paul Roos say?
Paul Roos was scathing.
Really?
In his assessment of Liam Jones.
They did leave him one out all day.
But he was upset that he wouldn't put a body on him. He said, why is this man not putting a body on Lance Franklin? And then he'd go, there it goes again. He was going on and on. And I'm thinking, if Mr. and Mrs. Jones were at home sitting at this, they'd be throwing rocks at the TV.
He's got a three-year contract again.
It was amazing. That 10th goal from Buddy.
Snap.
Let's just have a very quick listen, thanks to SEN, to that one from the final quarter. It was absolutely huge.
As they kick long, Franklin can't take the front spot, but he can. Buddy's got 10! You bloody star! It's a perfect 10 for Lance Franklin. What a night he's had. And of all the goals that he's kicked tonight, that was the least likely. Front and centre crumbing.
You said last week that Buddy Franklin could be the best player ever.
I said he belongs with those Carey and Ablett Senior and Lee Matthews in the conversation.
Well, this with Coleman.
I never saw him. Well,
no, we don't have to. Him. No, but we've got to trust people.
Surely he does. Is he near 900 goals now?
Yeah, and he's 800.
In an era where you don't kick goals. I tell you what he is. He's the most exciting player I've ever seen, and I include Carey in that. And maybe not Ablett Senior. Oh, God, it's tight. Yeah, he's well, better than Gary Ablett Senior. There you go.
Gary had something that Buddy didn't.
But anyway, he's bloody good.
No, point of order. Point of order, Chairman. Gary had something that Buddy didn't have.
What was that?
That's just spectacular marking.
Yeah.
Gary used to stand on shoulders.
Okay, well, that
he
was
is, though,
a
for
bad
this,
call, but geez, he's good.
For this generation, as you say, he is a player that you go to the footy to watch, whether you follow Sydney or not, because you just never know what he's going to do. But
and I always go back to the 2004 National Draft when Richmond had two picks to take him.
Poor Richard Tambling.
They didn't.
Never forget.
Why would you bring that up on such a glorious day for Richmond and Richmond fans?
Well, it's just it's history.
What about Aaron Fiora over Matthew Pavlich?
Oh, comfortable with that.
Oh, this is going to be a whole other podcast. I think we could
anyway,
go for hours
cut
on
all
that.
Cut all that out.
But North Melbourne is an interesting one, isn't it, Robbo? Today, news suggested in the Australian newspaper that Brad could potentially be off to the Gold Coast and perhaps with Simon Lethley and in tow. They're obviously in the news Dustin Martin-wise, but this is an interesting one.
Yeah, it is. It's
the same journo said North were tanking, by the way, and they beat Brisbane and finished 15th and didn't get the number one pick. So just bear that in mind.
And Collingwood are starting to interview people this week for the chief executive's job.
Do you think Simon's in the mix?
He was linked to that last week. It wasn't my story, so I can't
see. He and Brendan McClements are in the final two for the Collingwood job. But wouldn't that would be a good dream team if it was correct. Lethlean, Mark Evans and Brad Scott. But
the intrigue is, which is going to get really, really intriguing, does Mark Evans, who I don't think he's this kind of guy, I think he's a process guy and he'll go through the due diligence, but Brad Scott ain't going to sit for an interview. So he's not going to tell North Melbourne, by the way, I'm still coaching, but I'm going for an interview at the Gold Coast job. That ain't going to happen because North Melbourne will say, well, what are you doing there? You're contracted to us. So that'll end badly. They'll get rid of them. But Brad Scott, I don't think Mark Evans is going to announce, we've got Brad Scott as our coach.
Especially when Dustin Martin's waiting in the wings. Would you walk still away waiting and go to the Gold Coast if you got Dustin?
There's a lot of intrigue there. I spoke to an assistant coach today who this morning who is in the mix for the job, and he said there's been no movement from Gold Coast behalf.
Can they go with an untried coach, do you think?
I think they can. I think they can. I think this thing about getting a name coach, let's help. That'll help. That'll help in the area, and we get help generate news. Those days gone. Pick the best coach you think's out there. The best advertisement for getting good promotion is winning football games.
They're diabolical, aren't they? It's Gold Coast. 17th they finished. 12th is their best ever. They've been in there for 7 years, and but apart from the year Gazza hurt his shoulder, they have not fired a shot.
About the laughable situation of Gazza hiding behind a van and then jogging off on Friday night.
It was Mikey, Jack Riewoldt.
It really was. I mean, we rated the week before. This is getting ugly. That got comical on the weekend. All they had to do was stop and say, hey, and get rid of all that. The game on the weekend was as bad a performance we've seen from a team. They are soulless. They're touching the end of the line this year. They'll get better. They will get better.
The problem is, though,
Mick, what if happens in 12 months' time?
Well, round 23 last year, Richmond lost by 121 points to Sydney. You can turn it around, and they're going to make some pretty significant changes.
He's a genius, Damien Hayward, isn't he?
I read that last year, actually. But they're probably very happy that now the season is over and they can focus on the things that they need to rectify. We are in the bye week. We've got the EJ Witten Legends game Friday night, the AFLW State of Origin game Saturday night. But it is all about next weekend, and there's three. We've already talked about the Cats and the Tigers, but there are three other massive finals. The Crows and the Giants on Thursday, Sydney Essendon on the Saturday afternoon, and Port and West Coast. Which one are you most looking forward to, Robert?
Oh, I picked GWS this morning in the Herald Sun to play off in the grand final, but after I saw what I saw on Friday night, I thought, God, that's not a great choice. They just don't defend well, GWS. They just don't. And they're going to one of the biggest, longest grounds, and I think the Crows will beat them. It'll be a tremendous effort for GWS to win that game.
Yeah. I also picked Giants last week when we did that.
Crystal ball.
But I'm still hopeful that they're able to beat the Crows. They've got the firepower, but you're right, they've got to work out how to run the other way.
It is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to Sydney and Essendon 4:20 on the Saturday. I think theirs was an epic last time. Of course, the Pretzels might get another run this week. Brendan Goddard will be seeing plenty of that vision in the next 2 weeks. But now I just want very, very short answers from you guys. You mentioned the crystal ball. Then you can get all of the views from all of the experts here at the Herald Sun on superfooty.com.au. But just a very quick one from both of you. Which teams will play off in the grand final and who will win the Brownlow medal?
Well, that's easy. You get a harder question than that. Dusty's got the medal. And I will say Crows, Giants.
Me? Yeah. I think it will be Richmond, Adelaide now because...
Are you changing?
I've changed, yes. Because I if you're changing, I'm changing.
I think Richmond can win a playoff in the grand final as well.
This is huge. I've tipped Adelaide and Sydney, an interstate, all bird face-off, and I think Dusty can spend his flight back from New Zealand making a few notes about what he's going to say on Brownlow night.
Can that take place, Adelaide-Sydney? So, or are they on the
Well, I think anything can happen, anything Mick. It's that sort of year, isn't it?
I've started Mick, trust me, I was up till 4 a.m. looking at permutations.
What a boring life have you got?
Oh, there's a Richmond supporter in my house, and I think it's going to be a very long 2 weeks for. That's it for another edition of the Super Footy Podcast. Thank you, Mick, and thank you, Robbo. Make sure you do subscribe on iTunes to hear all of the latest episodes, some very special finals editions coming your way over the next few weeks, so make sure you're tuned in. For all of your other AFL news, don't forget to follow Super Footy on Twitter and use the hashtag SFPod to get involved with your comments or questions ahead of next week's episode. We'll be back next week. We've got the bye, we've got a couple of games on that we'll be discussing and, of course, previewing the week 1 of the final series. Have a great week.